Well, let me tell you one more time, Merry Christmas, everybody. It is good to see you, and it's been great to celebrate with all of you today. We've been enjoying it, and we're going to look here again at the Christmas story. We've been talking about this, of course, a lot this month, as we normally do, but there's always great new things that we can see and pull out, and I just want to talk about something very simple tonight. Christmas Eve services or family services, and we're not with each other real long, but there is little things sometimes, the simplest things and simplest truths that can be the most impactful. So I pray that's true tonight. Matthew 1 shares the story of Christmas. Again, I know we've heard it many times, but let's read it again, listen again, and see if God will speak something new to us out of it tonight. Matthew 1, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but not before they came together. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And so we're going to talk tonight just briefly, not real long, but we're going to talk just about the parentheses, that little parenthetical note, which sometimes in an email or a message or a letter that someone gives, we throw something that you should know in parentheses, and kind of ironically, it's kind of like, well, you know, don't forget this, it's not part of the real letter, but oftentimes it's saying something really significant you don't want someone to miss. And this is exactly why this ends up in parentheses in Matthew 1, because it is very important to God, as his word was being written here in the Bible, that you understand what Emmanuel means, but more than just the definition of Emmanuel, that you understand what God is doing, communicating who he is by sending his son Jesus and calling him Emmanuel. And so this is what we look at. Emmanuel, which means God with us. If there's one thing that seems to just kind of permeate all of the Christmas story, it's the idea of this God that was in heaven that is reaching out to us and sending his son Jesus so that we could come to him, so we could be near him. But it's God coming to us. It's God being near and coming to us. If God was a politician, I'm glad that he's not. How about you? But his slogan, right? They all have slogans. His slogan would be, "I am God with you." I mean, that's his deal, right? There's a lot of religions, a lot of views, philosophies that talk about life and eternity and the meaning of life. But for God, what this all is about, like what he wants to be known as, is, "I am the God who is with you. I'm going to call my son Jesus Emmanuel." And there's great, great news in that for you and I tonight. Because if someone wants to be with you, and let's remember, God is not being forced to be with you. Some people are forced to spend time with us. That's never something that makes you feel good. God's not forced to be with us. No one made him come to earth. Also, it says, we'll read it in a little bit, that we had nothing to offer God. So, you know, sometimes people will spend time with you because they want something from you. You'll love those people. That's not why God is coming to be with us. No one's making him. He's not getting anything out of the deal. And so really you're left with the very simple truth and the simple message tonight that God actually, he really loves us and wants to be with us and wants us to know him. And this is whole idea of, "I'm going to call my son Jesus Emmanuel," so that people don't make a mistake. I'm the God who wants to be with you. So he's a God that loves us. If you want to say it this way, my mom was in last service, you know, and they're visiting in town, and you say, you know, "My mom loves me." People say that. You know, your mom, well, yeah, she has to, right? I mean, she's kind of with me to the end. And you need to make sure you don't think that same kind of, that's not true always about our moms. They do love us, but it's not true about God either. Like, well, he has to. No, he doesn't. He really chooses to and desires to. In that sense, you could say, it's almost weird to say, but it's really kind of true. God likes you. He likes me. He could have done whatever he wanted. You'll see here in a moment. Like he could easily turn his back on us, but he didn't. Because he actually really is interested in us and wants a relationship with us. And I want you to catch that tonight, because I don't know that that's always been all of our life stories and all of our experiences with church, religion, whatever it might be. that actually we come to sing and to worship and to hear about and to learn about a God who wants a relationship with us. Don't make a mistake. I've never heard God audibly. I've never heard him audibly, but I know what his voice sounds like. I know what he feels like. I know what it's like to have a relationship with him. And Christmas is all about God saying, a relationship with me is possible. So that's really the crux of this. It's not just that God is with us. There's this fundamental purpose that is so important of why God sent Jesus as a baby to grow up as a human being, to go through what he did and to die and to be resurrected, but to go as a baby and to grow his life. And the Bible reveals it in so many different ways. I'm going to read you a verse in a moment, but let me give you another example of this, not from a theologian by any means, but maybe we would call him a Christmas sage, and maybe you've heard of him. His name is Buddy the Elf, one of my favorite movies, and one of my favorite clips I wanted to show you tonight as Buddy the Elf gets kind of excited. All right, let's watch this together.
Are you mad at me?
No.
Sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Just do your job.
Okay. Wow! What's this?
This is the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
It's time for an announcement.
Okay,
people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah!
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Can you sign this for me?
Oh, hi. Santa's coming.
Oh, man, you gotta love it. Santa! All right. You know, when you were a kid and your parents would tell you, hey, we're going over to so-and-so's for Christmas, right? There was the homes or the family members that when they told you that, you got excited. Yes! Right? I mean, most of the Christmas Eves, we went over to my aunt and uncle's house, and I don't know what it was. They were just, I loved them. I thought they were great people, and probably it's because they were just friendly, and they just loved on us as kids. My Uncle Dave, he would play with us, and you know, we'd get a toy or two there on Christmas Eve, but I just liked being around my family. They would have fun. We'd play games. We would laugh, and when they would say, we're going over there, yes! Right? And a lot of you feel that way too. And hey, we're going over to so-and-so's house for this holiday or for this. And you get excited and because it's attached to who they are and what they mean to you. And then there's the other houses, and I won't say publicly, you know, that my parents would say, hey, we're going over here, right? And that would usually follow with a lot of cajoling, like bribery. Like if you will go and you will behave and be okay, we will buy you anything you want on the way home, right? And we all have one of those, you know, aunt or uncle so-and-so that when you tell the kids we're going over there, they're like, no, please, no, it's so boring over there. They have nothing, right? Like, oh, and it all comes down to your relationship with each of those people. It's not necessarily the structure of the house or probably even the meal that you're eating, but it's your relationship with those two different people. And most of the time as a kid, you love going somewhere where you know that they like you and they spend time with you. And I'm convinced of this, and I don't mean this to be funny or even a side swipe as a pastor of guilt, okay? Hear me. But I think one of the biggest reasons, and you know, we all know this, right? That churches are more well attended at Christmas and Easter. And I'm convinced that it's because a lot of people don't really know God. And they see him as the old crotchety aunt or uncle who is not glad that they showed up. And I'm going to just tell you today, nothing could be further from the truth. If you really knew God, I don't know that you'd look like Buddy the Elf or sound like him, but I think you would be excited about any opportunity you get to spend with him. And the problem is, so oftentimes, is that we really don't understand God, which is why he sent Jesus. He said, I want you to see me in human flesh so that you will not make a mistake about who I am and what my character is and what I believe. Because most of us, we don't see ourselves the way God does. We just struggle to see that. And man, God loves you. You know, and I wouldn't want to go to that house or that church or anything else if I felt like I was going there and all it was people that were just looking down on me or didn't care anything about me. But I am telling you, this Christmas, the reason we have Christmas is because God, in a way, if I can say this, he's really crazy about you. He really is. He could have done anything else, and he chose to die because he really wants to be in relationship with you. A relationship. In fact, okay, so Buddy the Elf is just for fun, but let's read the scripture that talks about this. Hebrews 8, 10 through 12. God says this. This is his words. He said, I'm going to make a new covenant. And he's talking about when Jesus would come. I will put my laws in people's minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. I don't know if you've heard that verse before, but to me, that is such an amazing verse. God said, I did all this, and I sent Jesus, because I don't want you to know me in a third-party relationship. Right, we all know the people in the story, and of course, I mean, we as adults, we know what the whole thing's about, but we see the story, and you know, those people that are there, they just think of Santa as like, you know, some character at Christmas. They don't think he's anybody to have a relationship with him. Buddy, he is excited because I know him, right? This is not the North Pole. I know what the North Pole looks like. I've been there, and I know Santa. And let me just tell you, this is really, to me, the heart of it. When God said, I'm going to send my son Jesus. And you know why I'm going to do it? Because I want everyone to know me. In fact, it's so awesome. Check this out, right? He says there's no more spiritual elitism because of Jesus. In fact, when it says, I will come to the least and to the greatest, what it's really saying is there's no more least and great. In God's eyes, you don't need somebody. There's not some superior religious person or pastor or Christian. We're all the same, and God is saying, I will meet you, and I will let you know me. And nobody has a more relationship, no one has a more special relationship with God than you can have with him. Isn't that amazing? Nobody. There is no hierarchy anymore because you will all know me. You won't need to learn from me, from somebody else, or from a relative, or anybody else, because you have direct access to the Father because of Jesus. And he says, I want that kind of relationship with you. That's it. This is the simple message tonight. That all this happened, Christmas and all of these things happened because God wants you to know him, to really know him. You may not hear him audibly, but to know what he really sounds like in your heart, to really know what he feels like when his presence is with you in those times you need him, to really know that he cares about you and he's listening to you when you talk to him and he's concerned about the things you're concerned about. And what an amazing promise to slip in at the end. And by the way, nobody can have a closer relationship with God than you can because he has leveled the playing field. There are no elites in this. It doesn't work that way. If you've ever tried to describe someone to your kids or somebody who's passed away, a parent, a grandparent, I mean, you do your best. Well, this is the way they were, and at holidays, this is how they would act, and this is what they would do. But you're just sharing kind of indirect information with someone. It's, you know, you usually end up saying, oh, I just wish you knew grandma or grandpa. I just wish you knew them yourself. And you know what? God is, man, he is crying out to us saying, man, you don't have to. And please don't just settle for somebody else telling you about God. Someone else telling you about who he is. Because in the end, you probably won't believe it anyway. Because what you need is you need to hear it directly from him. You need to experience him directly for yourself. And knowing God is so important. I already kind of said this, but let's come back one more time to Buddy the Elf. Don't worry, there's no spoilers here, but he discovers Santa, but it's not Santa. He's an imposter, isn't he? Oh, another one of my favorite scenes. Let's watch this.
Santa!
Hey, ho, ho, ho! It's me, buddy! It's me!
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
It's me!
Who the heck are you?
What are you talking about? I'm Santa Claus.
No, you're not.
Why, of course I am.
Well, if you're Santa, what song did I sing for you on your birthday this year?
Happy birthday, of course. How old are you, son?
Four.
You're a big boy. What's your name?
Paul.
And what can I get you for Christmas?
Don't tell him what you want. He's a liar.
Let the kid talk.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You
you sit on a throne of lies.
Look, I'm not kidding.
You're a fake.
I'm a fake?
Yes.
How'd you like to be dead? Huh?
No, he's kidding.
You stink.
I think you're gonna have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Okay, go.
He's an imposter! He's a fake! He's a fake!
Come here!
I swear!
He's a fake!
That store manager is one of my favorites. All right. I can't wait to get home and watch that again. All right. Listen, as funny as it is, there's a real teaching moment in this clip for me that I've thought about for years. It's all funny, of course, and we know, like what every kid here knows is what Buddy knows is that you're a fake because he knows the real authentic Santa. And he sits there and he says, "You sit on a throne of lies." Let me just tell you this, just as we wrap this up. Listen, there's a lot of false kings sitting on thrones. And here's the deal. They're sitting on the thrones in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit. And they say things to you. And if you don't know God personally, right, in the joke of all of it, if you don't know what he smells like, if you don't know what he sounds like, we get duped all the time. And you know one of the biggest ways that we get duped by false kings that are claiming and speaking to you in your hearts is they just tell you there's no way you're worthy. There's no way that God would actually really care about you. Look at what you've done. Look what's been a part of your life. Look what's happened to you. That's a result because God is not happy with you. He's displeased with you. He's coming after you. And I'm telling you today, if you don't know God, then you don't know that those are lies. But the moment you begin to understand who God is in a personal relationship, you begin to know that does not smell right. That does not sound right. That does not look right. That's not my God. That's why God gave Jesus to us. So we would not be confused about whether God is compassionate, whether he's humble, whether he is someone who is giving his entire life because he loves people, to see the reality that sin is real and has to be dealt with, and yet our God gives everything for us to be freed of it. God wanted us to make no mistake about who he was, and so he gave us. The Bible says that Jesus is the perfect replication of the Father. He is the invisible God made visible in all areas. And so he revealed himself as a baby that we would understand that he's approachable, that God is not looking to destroy you, but looking to find you and know you and for you to know him. And make no mistake, because there's a lot of false gods, a lot of false kings sitting on thrones all around, and a lot of them in your heart that tell you there's no way. And I'm just telling you, until you know him personally, you can hear about him from other people, you can hear people talk about him, but you won't know that's not real. My God really loves me. I love it because he's like, "It's me, buddy. It's me, buddy," right? And if you really knew how much God loves you, you would know. You would feel that way with him. It's me. Well, we don't think that, oh no, God's upset at me, he's displeased at me, I've done all these things. And no, actually, God is so excited because it's true, if you've never realized this, but this might hurt your feelings a little bit, but you're not God's favorite. We all are God's favorite. Really? Like, you're my favorite son, my favorite daughter, all of you. He really wants to know you and to cherish you. The worship team's going to come back up, and I want us to just think about this. It's so simple today, but it's really profound. The little parentheses. That he sent Jesus so that God would be with us. God would be with us. Remember that last verse, verse 11 and 12. "For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I'll never again remember their sins." I didn't read to you the verses leading up to that, but take heart in this as they come, that God basically said, remember he said the next covenant? What was the first covenant? God made a promise with men and women, just like you and me, and we didn't uphold the bargain. We failed at it miserably. We weren't faithful to it at all. And instead of God abandoning us, instead of God leaving us, he said, "That's okay. I will send my son who will be faithful." So guess what? God already knows that you can't hold up your end of the bargain. God already knows you don't have it all together. That's why Jesus came. Because God wants to close the gap. He wants to cut the distance. He wants to be a God that is with you, that you would know him. Would you stand to your feet? And would you just, as they sing the song, you sing with them, but O come, Emmanuel. Would you just invite God? Close your eyes with me as you're standing. Just, would you invite God just in? He promises if you will reach out for him, if you will seek him, you will find him. In the midst of our busy season, the next few days, it'll be crazy. God wants one thing, for you to really know how much he cares about you, how much he loves you, for you to really know that you can know him yourself, not through somebody else, but you, and that no sin is unforgivable, nothing you've done is too far gone for God not to reach you. So as we sing this, would you just allow God to penetrate your heart and just know, oh man, you can know him. You really can know him. And God, I pray as we do this, that you'd help us to start recognizing the lies from the false gods and false kings that are not you. Let's sing this together. So many songs. If you haven't been to our church, you may not have heard this, but we talk about it a lot, that the story of Christmas is set, its context is in a lot of darkness. It's to a people that have lost hope. It's to people, the words in scripture are literally gloom and despair. It's coming to a people that think that there's no hope. It's helpless and they're helpless. that there's no way the situation can change. And it says that the light broke into that spot, into that place. And that's the hope that you and I have today, that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, no matter what gloom or despair, anxiety and brokenness that may be going on in our lives, we have those sweet moments, those sweet spots where things are going well. But oftentimes life can find its way to be just a struggle and to be a place of just struggling and suffering. And that is the moment that it says, look to Jesus, because he's your hope in the midst of that darkness. If you will, let me just read you this last verse, because to me this ties it all together. The Apostle Paul says in Acts 17, he's talking to a Gentile crowd, people that are not Jews and didn't have any history of the Jewish people. And so he speaks them a different way. And he says, I want you to know the God who made the world and everything in it, he is Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in shrines, temples made by hands. God doesn't live here in this building. You didn't come here tonight where he lives. He's with us. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needs anything, since he himself gives everyone life and breath and all things. No. From one man, he made every nationality to live over the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they'll live. He did this so they might seek God and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. I want to just close my portion of this tonight by just reminding you what Paul is saying here. This is an amazing truth. He was telling this audience. He says, this literally what he's saying. God chose this date in history for you to be alive. He chose this night for you to be here. In fact, he chose Adams County or somewhere around here to be the place where you would live. And you know the primary purpose of all that wasn't for you to make money or to have a job or any of those things. The primary purpose of why God chose this moment in history and this place in the world for you to live was because he says it is there that you might seek God, that you might reach out and find him. It's literally a Greek word that has the concept of like groping in the dark. If you've ever been put somewhere and it goes dark immediately, you immediately kind of put your hands out and you're just kind of feeling because you don't want to run into something. You're just kind of, that's what the Greek word is. It says that God literally chose this time and this place in history because he knew this would be the place that would make you reach out and best find him. That's his number one desire. He puts you in all of the world in history in this moment for you to know him. It was your greatest chance. This year in this place was your greatest chance to reach out and realize that he is there. And the promise is he is not far from you. He's not far from every single one of you. He is within your reach tonight, and I pray that you know that. I pray you're left with that as you go about your Christmas celebrations, that God is within reach no matter what you've done, no matter what you're involved in, no matter how deep you feel. Oh, God is still within reach because he has come for you, Emmanuel. Our staff are going to come join me as we close our service, and we're going to sing just the last couple songs, but from candlelight together, reminding ourselves again that God is this light in the midst of the darkness. And so if you'll grab your candles, and the staff will be in our council, will be making their way towards you here in just a moment. And they'll be lighting your candles and we'll all sing together. Thank you. You better get on it. Nobody else here. Thank you. candles lit, but close your eyes with me for a moment. Man, and God's just been speaking to me, and wasn't my plan, but in these services, about some of you. And some of you are just, you have been living in those places of darkness, and you've been convinced, one way or another, by a false God, a false king. And I just, the Lord has put a few people in my heart. I think there's a man here. You're all by yourself because your family has rejected you. And it's probably your fault. And yet you just wonder, is God rejecting you? And I feel like he's just saying tonight, no, no. It's because of your brokenness and your sin, your choices, that he sent his son to be with you so you would not be alone. I feel like there's a woman here who had done something, and I probably know what it is, but it doesn't matter. You were a young woman, and you did something, and you just think it was so horrific, God would never be able to forgive you. And God is saying today, no, because of that choice, I came to be near you so that you would not be alone. I feel like there's a gentleman here, and there could be more than one, but a gentleman here whose parents or dad was maybe a pastor, and you've always looked up at just how good he did it, and you have just seen yourself as a failure your whole life. And God is saying, he has never seen you that way. That is a lie, and it does not come from him, and that God has a special relationship with you that is no different and no less than your dad or that person you look up to. I think there's someone here, I think a young woman, but maybe even others, that a pastor or someone spiritual told you God will never forgive you of that. And you've been convinced your whole life and you've been trying to work it off. And I believe that God is telling you tonight, no, that was not a word from him, because that's not him. And for you to know God, to know that that was not true, that there is nothing that he cannot forgive you of tonight. Oh, there's so much more. It's in my heart. Listen, wherever you are, whatever you've gone through, if you've just been in places of darkness and brokenness, that is why he came, so that you would have a God with you. Lord, you broke into those places of despair and gloom and brought light. And I pray that people would know that today, and more than anything as we walk out of here, that a relationship with you is possible, it's attainable, a personal one. Every single one of us, no one here has a better chance or a closer relationship with God than what each person has the possibility. If we will, as Paul said, reach out to you, God, because you are not far from any one of us. I pray that over us. God, you are not far, and may people reach out to you even this week and experience you in a really personal and profound way, maybe for the first time. I pray this over everybody here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.